We all have to start somewhere. And my story with my collecting started in 2004 in a city smack dab in the middle of Canada called Winnipeg. Hey, what's going on, you guys? My name is Ramney, and this is an Oral History of Marvel Legends podcast. This is the first episode, and I'm not quite sure how to format this podcast just yet. So right now, as it is, what I'm basically doing is I am just recording a voice recorder, using the voice recorder on my phone. I mean, and I'm not thinking of buying new equipment for this. I do have a microphone connected to my Mac in my office. However, I find that a little bit too restricting, and I kind of like just sitting on the sofa and just talking, kind of like telling stories. And I intend for this podcast to be just that. Now, I don't have any script or anything right like that, so I'm kind of just speaking off the top of my head. So pardon me if I go off on tangents and stuff, and I do apologize beforehand if, I lose track of things or I say things the wrong way or, that kind of thing. 'Cause what I'm planning on doing is kind of just minimizing the editing of this and kind of just talking like a genuine talk, no script, kind of just a couple of notes here, which I have on my iPad in front of me, of what I'm going to say, and then that's the iPad, or sorry, that's the iPad. See, that's the kind of mistakes I'm talking about, and that's the podcast. And why a podcast? I keep thinking of, different ways to relay my knowledge of Marvel Legends, because after collecting for a number of years, I've kind of gotten to know the community quite a bit, and I've accumulated some information, and I do feel like making a video might be a little bit too derivative of other people's videos already, but there's really not a podcast yet. There are podcasts out there, but a lot of the like Marvel Legends style podcasts tend to be very well, they're a few of them that I listen to, they're done live. So there's that, or there tends to be like two people in conversation with each other, which is a good format as well. But this one, it's just me, so bear with me. I took a look at the different ways to format the podcast, and I find this is probably the most convenient for me right now. Anyway, that's going off on a tangent. Let's go back to what we are going to talk about in this podcast episode. This is the very first episode, mind you, and I'm actually quite not sure how long this is going to take, but I will tell you what my collecting story, my collector origin is, and how I got started collecting Marvel Legends. So this goes way back to 2004, as I've mentioned already, and I was a university student, and I had an ex-girlfriend who worked at Walmart at the time. And usually I would drop her off at the Walmart pharmacy because she was a pharmacist. She had just graduated sometime beforehand, and so she works at the pharmacy at the Walmart not far from where I live. So what we used to do is we used to grab lunch together when I was available. And then I'd drop her off and then walk around Walmart to see if there's anything I needed and then just go back home. And that was kind of the life. And in one of these particular instances, I believe it was colder because I recall wearing like a fall jacket or winter jacket or something like that. this was so I we just had lunch and I dropped her off at the pharmacy, Like I walked her there and everything, and I started walking around the store. But the thing is, the toy aisle is not too far from the pharmacy. So I kind of just made a turn. As soon as I said goodbye, I made a turn and I walked past the toy aisle, and then there I saw a bunch of action figures from, I believe it was Series 6. Now let me kind of go back to my iPad here and take a look at my collection. I do have my collection archived. There you go. All right, so yes, it is. So Series 6 of Toy Biz Marvel Legends. That was the series that I saw on the aisle. Now let me give you guys kind of the visual of how I came across these. So I was walking down the aisle, and kind of like the end cap of that toy aisle, I saw a Cable action figure, and this was the Toy Biz Series 6 Cable, and that's the one he in which he was wearing his blue and yellow uniform, and he's got that the padding that you can put on him, and he's wearing like he's got this weird gun that you can put on his shoulder, or he can ride on. So I saw that Cable at the end cap of the aisle, and that stopped me right there because I'm a 90s kid, and when I saw Cable, it took me right back to my childhood of reading X-Men comics in the 90s. Anyway, I saw that Cable, and as soon as I saw it, I saw another figure right beside it, and it was Deadpool. And this was the Series 6 Deadpool. And that's the one with the interchangeable head. It's got the dupe figure along with it, a whole bunch of weapons. So I saw those two, Cable, Deadpool, next to each other. I had to have them. I didn't collect toys at the time. I wasn't even interested in collecting action figures. I was not in the hunt for, collecting action figures or anything like that. But I saw these two figures and I saw how well made they were. Especially, I was especially impressed with the face on that Cable, because that Cable, that face was just perfect. That sculpt was just perfect. And so I looked around to see what other toys I can find, and sure enough, I saw Wolverine. That's the Wolverine in the brown suit. I saw that. And then I rummaged again and I saw the Juggernaut. And this was kind of like in the back, and it was the only one there was. There were a bunch of Cables, there were a bunch of Deadpools, there were a bunch of Wolverines. Mind you, this was in 2004, back when the line wasn't so popular yet, and there were no collectors really that were competing with me. So this was abundant where in the Walmart where I used to live anyway. The Juggernaut was in the back, and I'm not sure if this was the one that was short packed, but there was only one Juggernaut, and I remember being so impressed by this figure because it was massive that it barely fit the clamshell that it was in. And I picked it up and it was heavy. It was one heavy package and I took it. I mean, it right then and there I decided, you know what? I'm going to get this Juggernaut because it's the only one there was. I'm going to get Wolverine because it's Wolverine and I'm Canadian. I'm gonna get Deadpool and I'm gonna get Cable. So I got those four figures right then and there at that Walmart on that day in 2004. And that was how I got started with Toy Biz Marvel Legends. Those were my very first four action figures. And I brought them home. I opened them up. Now, in Canada, you don't. Sometimes you get comic books, but sometimes you don't. And these figures did not come with comics, I believe. They got some hollow foil poster that was like the size of a comic book that was packaged in with the figure. So got those, and I remember being so impressed. I had no idea what Marvel Legends was at the time. I just, to me, like, all the action figures kind of looked the same at the time. There were a bunch of gimmicks. Like, I saw some Spider-Man toys and all that stuff, but I always thought, you know, they were for kids because they came with, like, the gimmicks like squirt spray or water gun Spider-Man or, you know, Batman. Night glow Batman, that kind of thing. I always found those to be geared towards kids more. But when I looked at these, number one, they were a bigger scale. They looked bigger than the other figures I remember. And number two, they were just, like, the details are just amazing, and the sculpt was so detailed. Like, that cable had all the pouches. All the pouches that those 90s Rob Liefeld characters were known for had all those. It was detailed. Like, all the veins on Cable's arm, it was all just protruding. And again, like, that face. And then, you know, the Juggernaut was, you could remove the head, or sorry, the helmet. And then you had this massive hulking figure that was just so big and heavy. It was hefty. I've never seen a figure that huge. And this was Walmart. This was like less than $10 at the time too. So I was very impressed. Deadpool with Dupe. I remember Dupe from the Ecstatics comics. And I remember Deadpool being awesome. I actually do recall... this is going to be another podcast episode, but sorry. I had a friend named Chev who lent me his old, like, 5-inch Toy Biz X-Men and, like, Marvel superheroes action figures. That's another story for another time, but I did play with those old Toy Biz toys, those 5-inch toys from way back in the 90s. But anyway, this Deadpool... it was amazing. Like, it was super articulate. And I remember being able to just, like, put him in these wicked, crazy poses. At the time, you weren't able to, because I was just so used to seeing action figures with very limited range of movement. You know, you got the neck, you got the arms, and then you got the hips, sometimes the ankles and elbows. So that was the state of the action figures then that I knew of. And then this came out, and this Deadpool was just so good. It was amazing. Like, it came with so many accessories as well. The Wolverine came with, like, a base that had I don't have the base anymore, but I think it had Ogun from the comics. Or was that Hellfire Club soldiers? I don't remember. Anyway, Wolverine, again, this was one of the best Wolverines I've ever seen. The facial expression was perfect. The claws were, like, wonky, but that's kind of to be expected with a lot of the Toy Biz Wolverines. But this was the Wolverine. Now, when I was reading X-Men... I believe, like, the first, second, and third issue of X-Men, he was wearing the brown suit, and then he changed it to the yellow and blue. So when I read X-Men number one, the Jim Lee, Chris Claremont one back in, like, 1992, 93, this was the Wolverine. It was the brown suit. It's the John Byrne suit. So I fell in love with these four figures. And it kind of snowballed from there. So when I got these four figures, I looked at the back and it said that there was, you know, a movie Punisher that was out as well. There was a Jean Grey. And then looking at, like, driving around, seeing other action figures or going to other stores. I went to Toys R Us this time around, and I hit up a whole bunch of other Walmarts to see what other action figures there were. And I was very surprised to see that this was already in Series 6. So I had already missed a bunch of series in this line. Series 5, which had the Colossus, Sabretooth, all that stuff. Blade, movie Blade, Nick Fury. Series 4, which had Beast, Punisher, Gambit, Elektra. Series 3, which had the yellow and blue Wolverine and Ghost Rider and Thor. Series 2, which had Doctor Doom, Human Torch, Namor. And then the Series 1. Now, I found a whole bunch of these eventually, just driving around the city with the intent to collect. So as soon as I got those initial four figures, I decided, you know what, this line is worth collecting. So to this day, I still have these, the very same action figures that I picked up all those years ago, 2004. I still have them. So I still have the exact same Cable. I have the exact same Deadpool. These were the ones that I picked up off of the shelves in 2004, 2005. And yeah, that was kind of the start of it. So anyway, I believe Series 6 was like the very first series that I actually completed. The very first wave, not counting the variant of that Cable, which came with brown pants. But I eventually found the movie Punisher. I eventually found Jean Grey. Now, at the time, there was no Build-A-Figure that wasn't around yet. So I was kind of just buying these based on what I knew of them. And they were kind of just selling based on the strength of the characters alone. There was no Build-A-Figure gimmick to make you purchase more things, right? No, purchase figures that you don't want. But these were big name characters, and at the time I was pretty familiar with most of the 90s storylines, some storylines from the 2000s, but these figures that were coming out, like, I didn't think for once, or at any instance, I didn't think, oh, who's this character kind of thing, because these guys were like the big names of the Marvel Universe. Like, for example, Series 1, well, not counting Toad, but I did know about Toad. Cap, Iron Man, Hulk, those are big names, right? Namor, Doctor Doom, Thing, Human Torch in Series 2. So these guys were characters that I was already familiar with. Now, mind you, I was already a card collector. I had probably three or four card sets at the time already. So I knew these characters from my trading card collection as well. Anyway, so that's that. I drove around the different Walmarts, the different Zellers. Zellers was like another toy, or another store, like a department store that was popular at the time. I think Kmart was done. It was Zellers, Walmart, Toys R Us. Those were my three places that I would go hunting for action figures. And for the most part, they were all stocked. I didn't think that there was anyone else collecting. There was no action figure collecting community that I knew of. It was just me on the hunt for these things, not knowing that there was like this community of people kind of interested in and collecting these action figures. At the time, I could find any figure that came out. I found them at the stores. It didn't, you know, I wasn't concerned about missing out. Even the box sets, for example, I got, I believe it, yeah, a lot of the Spider-Man movie ones. The Spider-Man Classics was also out at this time, so I got a whole bunch of those figures. Hulk as well. And I was also into Spawn. So this was around the time as well that Spawn was like, or McFarlane Toys was at its kind of peak. And they sort of set the benchmark for what and how an action figure should look. So I bought a whole bunch of Spawn action figures as well at the time. And well, around this time, it wasn't, they weren't really action figures. They were kind of starting to become more and more like statues. But regardless, I got a whole bunch of Spawn action figures. I got these Marvel Legends. I got a bunch of Hulk Classics, Fantastic Four Classics, Spider-Man Classics figures. And that was kind of the start of my collection. And at the time, like, it was, I found it kind of a little bit embarrassing purchasing all these action figures on my own because it was, you know, there was that stigma to grown men buying toys. And at the time, it wasn't popular. No one thought of them as collectibles at the time. So buying these action figures, you know, you'd be a little bit embarrassed. So actually, what I ended up doing sometimes is I would go to the pharmacy section because you can actually use the till at the pharmacy. I would ask my ex-girlfriend to ring up the action figures. And the good thing about her was she was an enabler and she would walk to the bathroom. And walking to the bathroom from the pharmacy, you would walk past the toy aisle and then she would give me a call and she would say, you know, are you missing such and such character? Looks like there's a new batch of toys out. Do you want me to pick up anything? That kind of thing. So she was definitely in on it and she was pretty supportive of it. She knew how much I enjoyed it. And yeah, that was collecting back in 2000, in mid 2000s. It was a lot of fun, actually. Now that I think about it, it's like it was the thrill of the hunt because the way that I collect now is way different than the way that I collected back then. And back then, because my collection was so small, you know, every figure was valuable. Whereas now it's almost like law of diminishing returns, you know what I mean? Because you got so much. What's another Iron Man in your collection? What's another Captain America in your collection? But back then, it was like this was the definitive Deadpool. This was the definitive Cable. It was the definitive Wolverine kind of thing. So each one was pretty significant, each one was pretty important. And that was it. Now the cool thing too was I kind of got into Wizard magazine as well, and Wizard came out with a Toy Fair magazine, which was just kind of a spin-off or a branching of Wizard that focused mostly on toys. And you know, I started going to the local comic book shop and getting Wizard and Toy Fair and seeing these guys and looking forward to, you know, what was coming up next kind of thing. So you'd get a showcase of what action figures were coming up next. So Wizard, Toy Fair, those were kind of my hype magazines. They were the ones that I would read in order to get information about these figures, because at the time I thought it was just me. A bunch of people were interested in what I was collecting. Like my brother at the time was also kind of intrigued, but he was more into anime, Pokemon, that kind of thing. So I was more into the Marvel stuff. He tended to lean towards, and I remember him collecting Gundam toys. Yeah, Dragon Ball Z action figures kind of thing. So that was his thing. But I was never really into Dragon Ball as much as I was into Marvel Comics. And it was because Marvel, to me, was how I learned how to read in English. And I had met a best friend, one of my best friends in fifth grade. His name is Charles. And he gave me a whole bunch of his action f or sorry, his comic collection. And they were all Marvel. No DC at all, so that's where my inclination towards Marvel came from. So yeah, they were thinking my family was they weren't bothered by it. It was cheap enough. I was a university kid with a decent job. I had just finished an like kind of like a pre-nursing diploma. So I was working at the hospital and I was making good money. And at the time, it was like I was working 12-hour shifts, and yeah, I was working 12-hour shifts, and I believe I was making like $18 an hour to be like an orderly or healthcare aide, and that's what I was at the time. So I was making some money, and I had some dispensable income. So I was able to collect these guys without any financial ruin or anything like that. So I've been pretty lucky, and I have been pretty lucky throughout the entire span of my collecting Marvel Legends that I have been able to hold jobs that allow me to afford this luxury. And I do consider it a luxury. I consider it a burden sometimes as well, which is a story for another time. But yeah, these figures, they bring me joy ever since I got my hands on the first few that I got. So yeah, I these like Marvel Legends to me, they're just as a person who was creative, who is artistic. Like I don't know if you guys are aware, but I do have a drawing channel on YouTube where I teach people how to draw characters from movies, comic books, TV shows, that kind of thing. As a kid who always wanted to be a comic book artist, and as a person who's trying to teach people how to draw, these were yeah, these were amazing. Like I'm a very tactile learner. I learn by playing around with things and holding things and manipulating things. So these were just perfect. They were 3D representations of the characters that I knew and loved from Marvel, and I just fell in love with them, and I haven't stopped since. There have been, I've been fluctuating in interest over the years, especially when when Hasbro kind of became, or sorry, when Hasbro took over from Toy Biz, that was kind of like the year that I was starting to become disinterested, and there were years where I decided to focus on traveling instead, all that kind of stuff. I came, like my interest comes and goes, but I never really got rid of my action figures. I've always found it kind of a thing that I didn't want anyone else to have, and I didn't want to sell them on eBay. I was tempted to sell them when I moved out here to Thailand from Winnipeg, but I never did, and I'm kind of happy that I didn't. But at the same time, now I have all these action figures, and because I am an expat who lives in Bangkok, I have my action figure collection located in like different places. I have like most of my Toy Biz stuff is back in Canada, and here in Thailand, I've been here since 2008. So most of the Hasbro stuff is all here with me here in Thailand. So I don't know. It's been a crazy ride, and I hope to. With this podcast, I hope to be able to share it with you guys. All the knowledge that I've kind of acquired, what I know about the business. Not that I know a lot, but it's just from my years of collecting and being part of the forums, of the groups. Yeah. Anyway, so that's it, you guys. So that is the very first episode of my action figure podcast. I don't even remember what it's called. An oral history of Marvel Legends. Now, this is going to be mostly Marvel Legends because it's what my collection is mainly, what it consists of mainly are Marvel Legends. I may talk about other action figure lines here and there, but this is mainly going to be Marvel Legends related. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, you guys, and I hope to hear from you sometime soon. I'll figure out a way for you to contact me if you guys are interested. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, follow button, whatever it is that you guys see on those podcast channel thingies. Anyway, I'll see you guys next time. Take care.